bit later, but right now we're talking water, streets, and other projects and cleaning up, aren't we, guys?
Well, that we are.
And maybe a little bit on the park project downtown.
Yes, yeah. So we have a few things to visit with this morning, but first we wanted to start with an announcement from the library that they are hosting this evening a meet and greet with the Cherokee Nation Chief. So Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. and the First Lady January Hoskin, mm-hmm. and they're going to present the Man Killer documentary. So that is this evening. It starts at 7 p.m. for the meet and greet, and the documentary will begin at 7:30. So they're going to present the film and the documentary and have people who attend a chance to visit with the Principal Chief. And really, it looks like a wonderful program and a wonderful opportunity there for the citizens this evening. So, again, that's tonight at 7 p.m. at the Bartlesville Library, and that's going to be a meet and kind of greet, and they're going to present the Man Killer activist feminist Cherokee Chief. So, wonderful event slated for this evening. If you don't want to go to the council meeting, this is going to be a wonderful opportunity to have some cultural betterment there. So, Tom, this evening or this morning, what we have or who we have with us is Keith, and we've recently announced a voucher for some cleanup activities. And so Keith's going to walk us through what we're looking to do there and give us a little statistics on the program.
Good morning, all. Yes, we have our residential cleanup coupon that's been recently distributed in your water bills. If you haven't got one yet, don't get excited. I talked to the ladies downtown. The last bunch of water bills go out this week, so towards the end of the week, they should be there.
Oh, good.
So if you haven't gotten one by, say, next week, give us a call downtown at the billing office or my office out at Public Works, and we can find out what went wrong, but you should be receiving one in your water bill currently. The slips are dated for January through the 31st of December, so you get one coupon to use sometime during that year. And the coupons can be redeemed out at the Osage Landfill, which is privately owned. It's out west of town. Most people are probably familiar with it. And what the coupon was originally kind of generated for was just the idea to help clean up Bartlesville. So if you've got old appliances or furniture or something around your house that you haven't been able to dispose of, this coupon will give you the opportunity to do that. We do ask that when you take the coupon out to the landfill that you take a current copy of your utility bill, your water bill with you, so the ladies there at the landfill can verify that you are a City of Bartlesville resident, and some ID, and then take this coupon with you. They'd be glad to help you. You can transport your materials to the landfill in a personal vehicle, a pickup or trailer. We do not allow commercial vehicles. Again, this is really designed for residential people, homeowners, to clean up their properties. It's not for commercial businesses to utilize and save themselves money. So we're trying to help clean up the town and give the people an opportunity of a way to do that. There are some things that they do not accept out there, which are the normal tires, batteries, hazardous material, wet paints, appliances, any kind of a compressor that's on an appliance. I mean, they'll take appliances, but if it does have a compressor, such as a refrigerator or an air conditioner, those have to be removed off the appliance, or they're can be certified that they're freon-free. Some of your heat and air people will do that for you, and then you can transport those out there. We don't take entire structures, so don't go tear your house down and think you're going to haul it all out to the landfill and dispose of it.
What? I can't dispose of my sticks?
Your sticks you could dispose of, and again, we don't take entire trees. So, again, the program was designed to help you clean up. We uh-huh. have had some issues with people that, went a little too far with it. Again, complete structures or removed huge trees and made multiple or wanted to make multiple trips. So again, mm-hmm. it's just something that's out there for people to try to clean up their property and get rid of those things that they've had laying around that they weren't able to dispose of. So most people should have those in the mail already in their water bill. And again, a lot of people have the electronic withdrawal and such. So be looking in your water bill. Some people don't open those up, but it is in your water bill. Mm-hmm. But again, for some reason that you did not get one, you can contact us. The ladies at the billing office will be able to look at your account. We'd be able to verify as far as when you use it. We will track that, so we'll know if you've used one or not already, but we could help you get one if you have not been issued one.
This is pretty handy. I remember when I moved into town, one of the first things somebody said, hey, did you get that free pass to the landfill? I said, no, what are you talking about? He said, you're going to need that.
Yeah, it's a popular program. We've been doing it for several years. Mm-hmm. I talked to the lady at the landfill this morning. Misty was glad to help me, and she was giving me a little information. In 2019, we had over 900 tons that was transported out by citizens, which that translates into over $27,000 of expenses that the city picked up the bill on for the people that transported their goods out there. So that was around 1,900 people that actually utilized the coupon last year. Up from 2018, we had about 1,600 people that utilized it, and well, it looks like actually it was 35,000, so there was more cost to it. That'll all go on the weight on the tonnage. You know, the average person that's taking the couch or the hot water tank's not a big deal. We have had people, like I mentioned before, that, you know, try to take out a concrete driveway and haul it out there, which drive the expense up. And again, that's not what this program is for. But it is a very popular program, and we do want people to use it. That's what we've got it for, and it helps clean up the town, and we're all in favor of that.
Oh, amen. Yeah, that saves a lot of calls from your neighbors when it comes to, hey, over there.
Absolutely.
Can you check on that, please? Yeah.
And we do have a couple other programs we could mention. You know, the spring and the fall, we usually offer a leaf collection program.
Yes.
I haven't got those scheduled yet for, of course, spring's fastly approaching. It'll be here before we know it again, and we will have that program, I suspect, again this usually April, I think, is about when we do that. Normally they also have the Operation Clean House. And that's usually scheduled somewhere around April also. Those dates have not been announced yet. Phillips, Conoco, and other entities partner together to put that on. The city of Bartlesville participates in that. So those programs will be offered again this year, to my knowledge. And again, in the fall of this coming year, we'll have another probably leaf collection also.
Very good. Yeah, it's been kind of kept a little bit busy with the weather, but not too bad this year. We had that one snowstorm that happened on a Saturday. You guys did a real good job of taking care of that. Pretty sweet.
The guys did work. They got out about 2:30. I believe Tom and I talked that morning early, and the guys were out on the roads prowling around.
Did a great job.
Yeah, they did a good job. We still have some trucks and equipment that are prepared to work. We actually have a couple little episodes this week where we potentially could get a little ice and snow, so we're still ready for it. We have material on hand, and the guys are ready.
You know, what do we usually get, about two, maybe three little flashes like this a winter?
We hope so. You know, we're overdue for a big one, but I keep biting my tongue when I say that. So we're going to cross our fingers and hope for the best.
All righty. Very good.
Yeah, so, Keith, on the voucher program, that is really good for one trip. So
one trip
for the voucher, and the voucher is good through the end of the year. So if you don't have a need to use it right away, hang on to the voucher, because the need may arise later in the year, and that is good actually until the end of the year this year.
So, absolutely. You got all year to take advantage of that and use it when you need to.
Yep. So a wonderful program, and I think it's been very popular along with the various cleanups that are offered there. But I do want to give a plug for the City Beat. So this is a newsletter, a weekly newsletter that the city prepares, Kelly Williams puts out. If you want to hear the latest news on the cities and the different things that are going on and announcements, you can go to the city's website at www.cityofbartlesville.org, and there's a place on the front page to sign up for the newsletter. So it's called City Beat. So if you're looking to kind of stay on the cutting edge of the news that come from the city, that's the place to do it. And so Kelly does a wonderful job and keeps all those notices and publications out there for us. So we're going to switch gears just a little bit. We're going to go to the Tower Center. So that is the downtown project between Price Tower and the Community Center. So voters approved that in 2018 on a bond issue, and the construction started somewhat quickly after the approval, and the funding was received for it. And so right now the project is kind of getting toward the end of completion. If you've driven by there, you've noticed that there's some more items that are sticking up in the air than what existed just a few weeks ago. But the contractor has erected the canopy for the stage, as well as the walls for the two buildings that adjoin each side of the stage. And they're going to get the deck to enclose the two buildings and put the deck over the canopy, hopefully in the next week. And then we'll start doing some of the dry-in work that is needed for the electrical, the plumbing, and the various other components that are within those buildings. So we have the western side of the site is fairly far along, as far as they have everything prepped and trees planted to put in sod and some other landscape elements that go in there. So hopefully in the next month, kind of contingent on weather, we should see the progress get to substantially complete. And but the way that weather's looking, at least the long-term forecast, is probably going to be mid-March before everything is substantially complete for the project. So it's been a very popular project. We've had a lot of interest and a lot of private donations that have helped add amenities to that. So it's been a wonderful project, and we're looking forward to having that complete so that the citizens who paid the lion's share of it can enjoy it and utilize that facility.
Once again, hats off to all of the corporate partners who decided to grant money into this program, too. Really, that was something else. I don't know if anybody really saw all that much coming, but it's been a lot.
It has been. It's been almost $600,000 worth of private donations from our corporate partners and private entities, as well as various foundations. So like the Lion Foundation, the Parson Foundation, both Phillips and ConocoPhillips contributed significant monies toward that. But we've had financial support from the Cherokee Tribe, from Arvest, from Truity. So just a host of entities that have contributed to the project. So it's really been exciting to see that level of participation and financial investment within it. So we are really looking forward to the project, and there's going to be a really, really nice project. So it's going to have a lot of amenities, and I think it's going to create the look and feel that the citizens were looking for when they approved the project back in 2018.
Looking forward to it. What else we have on the agenda for today?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about water, wastewater. So we have kind of a monthly staff meeting, and my kind of coined phrase is the water's going out and the dirty water's coming in. So, but it's kind of true to form there. But, you know, with the wet weather, we've and really the wet spring and fall and truthfully just the wet season, water supply has been very good for us. So we haven't had any issues or problems with the raw water supply, but that really wasn't always the case. Back in 2001, we did experience a significant drought, and Hula Lake had less than 6 months of water remaining in it. So our main water supply is Hula Lake, and then Hudson Lake, which is a city-owned lake. Hula Lake is owned by the Corps of Engineers. And then we also have water rights on the Caney River there by Kitty Park or within Johnstone Park. But in 2001, we had that significant drought where we had really less than 6 months of water remaining. Council went through a process of basically enacting some water restrictions and some different rate increases potentially to move forward with. And then we had a couple of very, very large rain events within the basin, and it filled the lakes back up, and everything was good again. But really what that did is it made us aware of the vulnerabilities that we have, especially to drought. And so then council created a Water Resources Committee in 2001, and they began the arduous trip of looking at long-term water supply and reliable water supply. So that kind of started in earnest in 2004 through 2007, where they partnered with the Corps of Engineers to do a basically what they call planning assistance to state type of study. But that study really looks at what is the projected water use for the next 50 years, and then where do we need to go to secure the raw water needed to meet that demand. And so they looked at all the area lakes, so down there at Caw Lake, Birch Lake, Oshaleta, and Skytook Lake. So looking at all the area lakes, including Hula and Copan, to see where do we need to get to water, raw water, for long-term water supply. And so the culmination of the study was in 2007, and they identified Copan Lake as really the most economical lake for us to secure additional water rights and get water supply for a long-term use. Our problem with that was the pricing that the Corps utilized to provide that water for us. So the way that this it works with the Corps is that you, in essence, are leasing the storage in the lake. So whether there's water there or not, it's that they don't guarantee that. They just give you a spot in the bucket for water for your use and for your needs. Back in 2010, the Corps priced the water rights to us at Copan Lake for 1 million gallons worth of water a day, and that was $7 million for us to purchase those water rights to get the 1 million gallons of water a day. Now, that didn't include how we get water from Copan to the water treatment plant. That was a separate cost. That was just to get the portion of the bucket to store the water in. And as any utility, we are a pass-through cost utility. So what costs that are incurred for the city, we pass that up or pass those through to our consumers. And council at the time felt that the $7 million was just too much. That was going to result in a significant rate increase for the citizens of Bartlesville, and that just wasn't something they were willing to pass through to the city. And so we started the process really in earnest in 2010 to lobby the federal government to get some relief on the pricing the Corps was utilizing for those water rates. So you fast forward to 2018. So we did that for almost 10 years, lobbying and working with our local representatives and senators to get some language to facilitate the more economical price structure in the Corps. And so in 2018, the legislator and President Trump signed the Water Redevelopment Water Resources Development Act. And so that provided favorable pricing for our area, really our specific area, for water rights at Copan Lake. So to kind of give you a magnitude of what that bill did is in 2010, it was $7 million for that 1 million gallons a day worth of water rights. So with the WRDA Act in 2018, that same million gallons of water a day is now going to be $190,000. So a huge order of magnitude for price difference on those two scenarios. And so the Corps has issued the contract to us. We have yet to receive it. But once we receive it, we're going to take a look at it and obviously have council review it and approve it. But some good news as far as the one piece of the puzzle on long-term water supply. So one of the things that the study in 2007 did for us is it really looked at the reliable yield of Hula Lake, which was our primary water source. But the other thing is that Hula Lake and even Copan Lake in itself wouldn't provide enough water 50 to 75 years from now to satisfy what the projected demand would be. And so we had to find other water, either through additional water rights at Copan Lake or Hula Lake, or some other mechanism with it. And one of the things that came up in 2012 was on the state level. And the state was really experiencing droughts, really in the Oklahoma City area, significant drought as we had in 2001. And the state legislature approved the Water for 2060 law in 2012. And so the premise of that law is that in year 2060, we're not consuming any more fresh water than we are in 2012. And so really what that did is that opened up water reuse. So water reuse is when you're taking your treated effluent or the treated water at the wastewater plant and you're reusing it either for drinking, irrigation, processed water, you name it. And so before 2012, at the state level, there were no rules or regulations to facilitate that type of use. So after that law, that opened up the door to utilize or reuse that water in a number of capacities. And so Bartlesville has a very unique setup in that our wastewater plant is located less than a quarter mile from our raw water intake there at Johnstone Park by the Kitty Park. And that water intake is really the original water supply for Bartlesville back in the 30s. So we've used it. We continue to use it, and it's a reliable source for us. And so we started the process of looking at taking water, treated water from the wastewater plant and reusing it and retreating it or sending it into the Caney River so that it enables us to reuse that water for drinking purposes. And so ultimately what the study came up with that we were looking at is that we would take the treated wastewater and that we would pump that up to Road 1500, which is just north of Oak Park, discharge it in the Caney River, and let the Caney River do some natural treatment and processes for us, and then obviously reuse it and send it to the water plant, treat it again, and avail that for our customers. And the beauty of this scenario is that the water from the wastewater plant is very reliable in the sense of its volume. When we experienced the droughts in 2001, we had very consistent water supply at the plant. So it's not subject to drought, to environmental factors that lakes and rivers could be subject to otherwise. And so we are kind of in the final stages of the planning and the permitting for that scenario. And that was going to enable us to utilize 4 million gallons of treated wastewater a day, and the cost to put in the pipeline and pump station is going to be roughly in the $8 million threshold. And so this is really our insurance marker for us. So it's not something that we'll utilize on a day-to-day basis. It's really going to be needed if we need it due to droughts or other environmental issues that limit Hula, Hudson, or other facilities, or Copan Lake, to provide the sufficient raw water for us. We've done a number of studies as well to look at the treatability of the treated wastewater and looking at the chemicals of or compounds of emerging concern. So these are all the constituents that are not regulated by the EPA or the state that are present in our wastewater. So caffeine, industrial products, the various residues and oils that are in soap, shampoos, conditioners, all those things that we use on a daily basis that we send down the drain, we wanted to look at, you know, what's that impact and how can we treat to minimize those constituents in the water. And we're really talking a very minute threshold. Those parameters or those compounds are really measured in the part per billion, or part per trillion, excuse me, the part per trillion. So to kind of give you a frame of reference, that's like a teaspoon of that compound within an Olympic-sized swimming pool. So very trace amounts, very small concentrations of that. But what we found that we can utilize a carbon as a pretreatment that's very effective in binding up those constituents and those compounds, and so that our water treatment plant can remove those very effectively and efficiently. So we found that the carbon, which is very common, a lot of times people have fridge filters that use the activated carbon. But it's very effective in absorbing those compounds and getting it to a much larger mass that we can then remove through our water treatment process. So we feel really good about this scenario and this option for us, and that really adds another another bullet in our holster to combat the next drought, the next environmental issue that may limit the raw water from the normal sources at Hula, Copan, and Hudson Lake. So we had really no activity for the first 10, 15 years of this water supply issue. And here within the last 3 or 4 years, just as luck has had it, we've had a number of really good news and advancements to help secure raw water for really the next 75 years or more, depending on how the water consumption goes with it. And so the next thing that we're going to talk about is the wastewater plant. So we're talking all things water, wastewater today. So the wastewater plant is, if people know that we've been talking about for some time, is that the plant is over capacity. So the design capacity of the plant really started to be exceeded consistently back in 2010. And so we had another set of studies done to look at what do we need to do to expand the plant, to possibly split flows and build a secondary plant, or just the options that were available to facilitate that expansion to help with the volume that of wastewater that's being generated for us. And so that really tied in back to the 2012 Water for 2060 law, because we had to do improvements to the wastewater plant anyway. And so we ended up going, and council approved the option to expand the wastewater treatment plant at its current location. And we have to expand the pumping capabilities of the what we call the Caney River corridor. So that really starts there at the high school and goes down all the way south along the Caney River. So all of our wastewater is going to the river in essence. And then we have to pump that three times to get to the wastewater treatment plant. So if you look at our wastewater system overall, it's a very ineffective system in that we have to pump roughly 80% of the flows to the treatment plant to treat it and discharge it into the Caney River. But it's a great system and a great layout if you want to look at water reuse, because that really moves all that wastewater very close to a raw water intake and makes the water reuse scenario very, very efficient, very cost-effective to pursue. So initially our founding fathers may have known something there when they put that all together and laid that all out. But That process and that solution is really going to be a very expensive one. So the wastewater plant expansion, including all the collection system and the pumps that need to be upgraded, is really going to be in the neighborhood of about $50 million to do. And so that's a very expensive venture to move forward with. And these have been studied and looked at for a number of years. And so we started a process or some rate increases back in 2016. To help fund these large capital projects. So both at the wastewater plant, water reuse, those projects, we really started funding those on our water rates back in 2016, because obviously all these costs will have to be paid for by our customers and paid for by the users of the system. And so we wanted to start a system of incremental rate increases to help facilitate these projects and get the money that we need to move forward with the construction of both of those items. So in 2016, Council approved a five-year program to increase water rates. So the last one's going to be this fiscal year, which starts in July. And that really gets the foundation and framework of the funding to facilitate these projects for financing and for moving forward with the projects and not having to delay those implementations with because of funding.
Very good. So we're ready to get rolling on it. And like you said, that was a heck of a lead up to now everything getting done in basically a little bit of a hurry. So, you know, it's an interesting story how this all took place, and it took many years to get here. But by golly, it had to take a little act of Mother Nature here and there along the way in order to really put the prod to it, to our lawmakers and to the Corps.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a number of citizens and groups and volunteer groups that have really participated and have been with this program from the very onset. So it's really been because of their stewardship and their commitment to it that we're where we're at.
Patience is a virtue. Finally paid off for everybody. I want to thank both you gentlemen for coming in today. I want you to have a great day and a great week, and I hope to see you back here real soon. Thank you for being a part of City Talk right here on K1.
Thanks, Tom.
Sorry.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.